This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology, discoveries that will touch your life and change the way you view the universe. Well, with us today is Leonard David, author of an exciting new book. It's called Moonrush, The New Space Race. So we're going to be talking about going back to the moon, on to Mars, and who knows, even beyond that. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest bestseller I've written is called The Future of Humanity, talking about one day, perhaps, we'll be able to terraform Mars, make Mars into a tropical island in the sky, and who knows, perhaps one day even venture on into the stars. But with us today is Leonard David. For 50 years, he's covered the space program for agencies like NASA, Space.com, National Geographic. His previous book is called Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. But today we're going to be talking about his new book, The Moon Rush, The New Space Race, talking about the fact that, well, some people are saying there could be a traffic jam around the moon in the coming decade. After all, we have NASA with its SLS booster rocket scheduled for a liftoff in 2024, unless there's another delay. And not to be outdone, we have Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. Elon Musk with SpaceX, and he's selling tickets. Tickets for tourists to go around the moon. And there's a Japanese billionaire who has actually bought all those tickets, and he wants him and his friends to go around the moon. And then there's Jeff Bezos, another one of the richest men in the world, and he has what is called the New Origins Project and the new Armstrong rocket, and he wants to make Earth into an environmentally friendly jewel in the sky, so that heavy industry would be done in outer space, leaving the Earth to be a jewel, a celestial jewel in the heavens. And then not to mention the Chinese. The Chinese, of course, have their program, and they firmly project the time when they'll plant the Chinese flag on the moon. So it's going to be quite interesting in the coming years as we see a traffic jam around the moon and then on to Mars. Well, Leonard, the first question for you is, how did you, as a youth, when you were a kid, how did you first get interested in science and astronomy?
Well, I broke my glasses, and I took the lenses and got some cardboard tubes and fashioned my own little telescope. I must admit, I think sometimes I look through there and things look more distant than they should have, but anyway, that was my introduction to it. I lived in Texas at the time and very interested in space exploration. I kind of wanted to be an astronomer, but my math grades were not the best. And then Sputnik was launched in 57. And I think I saw the booster rocket that put Sputnik up, and that just galvanized my thinking about space exploration. And from there, it's been decades of writing about space and learning more and being surprised constantly.
Okay, well, 50 years ago, we went to the moon, and as Isaac Asimov once said, we scored a touchdown, and then we took our football and went home and forgot about it. So the question is, well, some people say it was cost. It simply cost too much to maintain this vibrant space program. The Apollo space program in 1966 consumed 5% of the entire national budget. Just think about that. 5% of every dollar you spent in income tax went to the Apollo space program. And some people say that's the reason why we didn't go back to the moon. But what are your thoughts? You've covered the space program for 50 years. You've seen the ups and downs of NASA. What are your thoughts about why we didn't go back to the moon after 50 years?
Well, you know, it's what I remember. We had a Vietnam War going on. We had trouble, race riots in the streets. There was a lot of other things going on in America. And kind of an aside, I worked at a restaurant once, and I had to beg the bartender to turn on the Apollo landing. And he says, "We're going again?" You know? So, mixture of messages coming out of America about its value of the space program. But why it closed down in 1972 was the last flight, Apollo 17. It's been a long haul. And, you know, this time getting back to the moon to stay is going to be a very interesting and dynamic environment, not only for the United States, but, as you mentioned, China and other countries.
Okay, and some people think that we are entering a second golden age of space exploration after a 50-year gap. Prices are dropping. SpaceX is pioneering reusable rockets. And billionaires are opening up their checkbooks and funding some of these incredibly visionary schemes to go into outer space. But let's take them one at a time. First of all, there's NASA. NASA has the SLS booster rocket, which it's testing, and it hopes that the SLS will take us back to the moon sometime after 2024. However, some people say that it's very expensive, costing $1 billion per launch, and that, who knows, maybe it'll never fly. But what are your thoughts, first of all, about NASA? NASA's putting its bets on the SLS booster rocket and going back to the moon sometime after 2024. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of trying to play the devil's advocate, you know, down the middle of the road being a journalist. But I don't discount NASA's capability with all the field centers and a tremendous track record of robotic and human exploration. We have an International Space Station up there. So I don't undercut NASA, but the private sector and NASA's putting together these public-private partnerships, working with SpaceX, working with Jeff Bezos. So that's all very encouraging. And I think there's a renaissance. You know, maybe as you get older, you want to have another renaissance if you've been involved in writing about the space program. I didn't want to waste 50 years or more of writing and have it dissipate, you know, as far as America. But the incredible overtures by other countries to explore space shows that it's not just no longer a kind of a U.S.-oriented capability. We've got other nations and other cultures that will change the dynamic of space exploration next go round.
Okay, well, some people perhaps harshly criticize NASA as being the agency to nowhere. Well, maybe that's changing. Let's take a short commercial break. Once again, our special guest today is Leonard David. The book is called Moon Rush, The New Space Race. And so we're talking about going back to the moon, onto Mars, and who knows what's beyond that. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612 1-800-564-8135. Ask a question, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations and the internet which carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with your free subscription to the CB Industry Report. The legal cannabis market is making huge moves since the election, and the market is projected to grow to $47 billion by 2025. The companies that we've identified are set to disrupt this multi-billion dollar industry. Get your free subscription to the CB Industry Report now when you text the word NOW to 48542. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word NOW to 48542. Text NOW to 48542. And don't get left behind in 2021, where unprecedented trading ideas for you to research are waiting. Text the word NOW to 48542.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to know about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is called The Future of Humanity. That is, humanity in outer space. You know, the dinosaurs did not have a space program. And as a consequence, that's why they're not here today to talk about it. We do have a space program and a vision. A new vision is emerging, not from NASA, but from billionaires who are enchanted by outer space. With Elon Musk of SpaceX, he wants to create a new home for humanity in outer space. He wants humanity to be a multi-planet species. And then we have Jeff Bezos, another one of the richest men in the world. And he wants to create the Earth as a celestial garden with heavy industry done in outer space, with the Earth being this jewel, this celestial jewel in outer space. Well, NASA, of course, is a bureaucracy. Let's be fair about it. They have budgets to make. They have environmental impact statements to make. But some people criticize NASA as being the agency to nowhere. That is, it didn't really go anywhere for 50 years. But now, with the new influx of money, with prices dropping, with rockets becoming reusable, some people think there's new energy and momentum. Well, we talked a little bit about NASA, 2024, they're going to go back to the moon. Now let's talk about SpaceX. Do you think, Leonard, do you think that SpaceX has been somewhat of a game changer? That is, it's given new energy, new momentum, new vision to the space program. What are your thoughts?
I'm right on the mark there. I think Elon Musk has done a lot to galvanize public interest in what's possible. And, you know, he's got a Starship in Texas right now. It's getting ready for another attempted flight, and that may take off today or tomorrow. And so he's making tremendous progress, and the whole idea of, you know, reusing these first stages and landing on drone ships and, that used to be talked about like airline-like operation is another phrase that people used to always banter about. And but Elon is making a big difference, and we'll see. You know, there, a little bit of me has kind of the Pied Piper feeling about Elon. There's a lot of people that really want him to succeed like I do. My guess is he'll have problems along the road. Meanwhile, he'll be, firing Teslas out there in space or whatever else he wants to do. But it's a great opportunity for new thinking, and Elon is really leading the pack.
And what are your thoughts about the fact that he's selling tickets for tourists to circulate around the moon, and he's actually sold out? There's a Japanese billionaire that I mentioned that actually bought up all those tickets. So what do you think about the fact that he's basically opening up space to tourists? What are your thoughts?
Well, space tourism is something I've written a lot about over the decades. And, you know, unfortunately, it's taken so long to get to this point where not only Elon, but you've got Richard Branson about ready to fly out of New Mexico on suborbital flights. Again, Jeff Bezos has got his new Shepard suborbital tourism capsule. So after 30 years of living in Washington, D.C., I'm here in Colorado now, but after 30 years, I did walk away cautiously optimistic. That's what you always learn in D.C. So I'm very optimistic in the next this coming year we're going to see the beginning of space tourism, at least suborbital flights, and then we'll see how Elon does with circumlunar flights. And my problem is, as a freelance writer, I'm going to be waving goodbye to a lot of people because I just can't afford the seat.
Speaking of which, Richard Branson is offering tickets to go to the very edge of the atmosphere at the threshold of outer space. Tickets cost in the neighborhood of $200,000. So if you have $200,000 to burn, then you too can go into outer space. But as you mentioned, New Origins with Jeff Bezos, he actually has a rocket, not just a jet rocket, but a rocket that takes you to the edge of space, and it's been tested several times. So what are your thoughts about the fact that space tourism could really become part of a rich person's itinerary? What are your thoughts?
I think it's there. It's happening. There will be some brave ones going first, and then Branson's always talked about seat prices coming down once the vehicle is more operational. Same with Jeff Bezos. We're not quite sure what he's going to charge per seat, as far as I know. But we're right on that cusp again. Now, Richard Branson suffered a tragic failure and lost a pilot in an early test flight. So, these things are still dangerous. In fact, I think even today, January 27th, 1967, we lost the Apollo 1 crew. Gus Grissom, Ed White, Roger Chaffee. So we can't forget that space is still It's still dangerous. It's still risky. But the opportunity for success and achievement, and particularly passenger flight, is imminent, I believe.
Well, Elon Musk was once asked the question whether or not he would like to die on Mars. And he said, yes, but not on impact.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't want to crash land on Mars, but he wouldn't mind going to Mars.
Well, I think something you said there early on that it would be good to go back a circle about NASA. And, you know, we do have this 2024 objective by the administrator that's no longer running NASA. He left just the other day, and we're waiting for a new NASA chief. But I've gone through in my career flip-flops on NASA. Let's go to Mars first. Let's go to the moon first. Let's go to an asteroid. And Obama, Bush, the two Bush presidents, we've had all these different kind of policies that falter. And the money doesn't show up, or we have a technical glitch, or a change of administrations. So I'm kind of, NASA has what they call the continuity of purpose. And unfortunately, it can also be a constipation of purpose. You know, if America does not want to achieve spectacular success built on the legacy of 50 years, then there's the issue there. And I've seen it falter over the decades. And I'm a little worried that we're almost there again. The amount of money that we're going to be spending to solve this virus issue, job loss, new employment that we have to get. Biden's got a tactic. We're not quite sure what the new president has in mind for the space program. So we'll see. Meanwhile, other countries are going to be taking the lead, I believe.
Now, some people think that one of the problems with NASA was the lack of vision, that back in the 60s, the vision was to beat the Russians. That was our vision. But we did it. We beat the Russians.
Yeah.
And then we lost the vision. But Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos have two new visions. One is that humanity should become a multi-planet species, and the other one is that the Earth should become a celestial park, a jewel in the heavens. So what are your thoughts? Do we need a new vision to keep things going, especially because, you know, money is tight? We have this pandemic going on right now. So what are your thoughts about what would motivate taxpayers to keep on funding a space program?
Well, you know, and when looking back in my 70-plus years now old view of space, it's a little bit like a Rorschach test. I don't need too much convincing to explore. Other people, other places need other types
of ideas. Let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your new book, Moon Rush, The New Space Race. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. On Facebook, we have about 4 million fans on Facebook. Find out what all the excitement is about. And the hotline number is 612-564-8135. Ask that question you've always wanted to ask, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Jeremy Scott. With or without Republican support, President Biden says he's willing to move forward with his $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan.
COVID relief has to pass. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also joined President Biden on Friday to call for immediate relief. The FBI has increased a reward to find who they believe planted two pipe bombs outside the Republican and Democratic National Committee offices on the night before the U.S. Capitol riot 3 weeks ago. The reward was increased from $75,000 to $100,000 on Friday. The FBI has shared a picture of a suspect in hopes of identifying them. The body of Officer Brian Sicknick will become just the third U.S. Capitol police officer to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. Officer Sicknick died from the injuries he suffered when he was attacked by a mob that stormed the Capitol. His body will lie in state on Tuesday night. This is USA Radio News.
Mr. President, welcome to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center.
President Joe Biden visited Walter Reed Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland on Friday.
For 8 years as Vice President, I'd come here. My whole family would spend every Christmas day here all day.
Yes, sir.
And seeing everybody. And the good news is there's not many people here.
Yes, sir.
We're a lot back then.
Yes, sir.
The President's late son, Bo, who died from brain cancer, was treated at the hospital, and so was the President for a brain aneurysm. President Biden met with wounded service members and toured the hospital's vaccination site. A three-member panel of circuit court judges appointed by former President Trump have granted U.S. border officials permission to resume deporting unaccompanied children who are apprehended along the border, but it's unclear if the Biden administration will choose to do so. The judges ruled Friday to block a lower court order. An estimated 13,000 unaccompanied migrant children were removed from U.S. soil prior to a court order last November. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Leonard David. For 50 years, he's covered the space program for Space.com. He's worked with NASA, National Geographic. His previous book is called Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. But now he's talking about his latest book, Moonrush, The New Space Race. Well, let's talk about going to the moon. What do we do when we go there? We're going to orbit around the moon sometime after 2024. Some people say we should create a space station, a lunar space station, sort of like a mini version of our International Space Station, and from that, perhaps, go to Mars. Other people say, no, we should have a sustainable moon base where we can have astronauts who live there, and we rotate them permanently. So what are your thoughts? Once we go to the moon, what's the next step? To build the lunar orbiter? To build a sustainable moon base? What's next?
That's a great question. I in the book, I try to outline a bunch of different scenarios, including NASA's gateway that may or may not evolve, but it looks like the movement there, it's becoming, like you just said, a miniature international space station. And then you, the key thing in the book that I try to get across, that I hope I get across, is that, you know, the moon is not a been there, done that world. There's still it lurking in polar craters that are never see sun, could be a lot of water ice. Are there other resources, rare earths on the moon? Helium-3 has been suggested by even Apollo 17 astronaut Jack Schmidt as something mineable. So there is a dynamic there about the moon. And, you know, I woke up this morning and looked at the Colorado Mountains over here, and the moon was huge. It's just over there. I mean, it's the thing people have to realize, it's close. It's very close. I don't have any doubt that, you know, eventually if you're going to live off the land of the moon, the resources will be there. And how do you create a permanent facility? People talk about 3D printing of construction material to build habitats on the moon. And again, it's not just the United States, but Europe and Russia is coming back into the moon business, even launching a lander, a lunar lander in October of this year. So, again, the multiple nations that are looking at the moon have all kinds of plans, and I think some of these plans may turn out to be exactly the way we return to the moon and stay there.
Okay, well, some people say that the composition of the moon is almost identical to the chemical composition of the Earth, because the moon, of course, came out of the Earth roughly 4 billion years ago. And so mining the moon would not be economical. It's cheaper to simply mine your backyard than mine the moon, because we're made out of the same materials. So what do you say to the cynics who say that the mining of the moon is really to create minerals for a moon base, not to bring them back to Earth, because we already have rocks that are chemically identical to the rocks found on the moon? So what are your thoughts about the prospects of mining the moon for commercial purposes?
Well, being here in Colorado, every year I go to the School of Mines, Colorado School of Mines, and they have an active...
Okay, Leonard, we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue with discussion of your book, Moon Rush, The New Space Race. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station and website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe your thoughts will be heard on 100 radio stations and on the internet. Stay tuned.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about Moonrush, the new space race by Leonard David. For 50 years, he's covered the space program. His previous book is called Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. So we are talking about the fact that, yes, even though we are saddled with a huge pandemic, Mars and the Moon are on the agenda. So, Leonard, when we last left off, we were talking about the fact that Moon rock is chemically identical to Earth rock because, of course, the Moon came out of the Earth. So mining the Moon would not be economical. So what are we going to do to help pay the bill? It's going to be very expensive going back to the Moon. How do we pay the bill if we cannot get money by mining the Moon? What are your thoughts?
Well, being here in Colorado, I attend School of Mines symposia on and they've got an active group there on learning how to operate on the Moon with machines and build facilities. And but you know, I don't foresee you know what the material coming back from the Moon of what value would have down here. However, if you are of the like mind thinking of permanence on the Moon to go beyond the Moon, then I think it's a stepping stone. I mean, it's corny, but it is. The Moon is a stepping stone to other great adventures that await human exploration. So, and then you have a lot of people talking about astrophysical observatories on the far side of the Moon, radio telescopes. I mean, so the scientific nature of what the Moon could offer from a research facility is compelling to me. But it's a Rorschach test. You know, I think you got to blend a lot of these things together to make the case that everybody on Earth would be supportive of a lunar facility like Antarctica base, you know, that we have. So, and then I think we can't discount the diplomatic opportunity we have to work with other nations on building facilities on the Moon. So, you know, it really is you know, a smorgasbord of possibilities that I think we'll find by getting to the Moon and sustaining human presence there.
And some people say that the discovery of water ice on the moon could be a game changer. We're talking about the fact that water can be used to be, first of all, purified for drinking purposes, but you can also break it up into oxygen and hydrogen, hydrogen for rocket fuel, and oxygen for breathing and also for rocket fuel. So what are your thoughts about the fact that water ice has been discovered on the moon in quantities that are surprising?
I think I'm personally very excited about that prospect. However, it is prospecting. We're going to have to get in those places and really understand what people are going to be dealing with in the super cold temperatures of those particular craters that may have water ice. Nobody knows the constituency of that water ice. How difficult would it be to mine? Again, there are people that are doing very active things of beaming solar energy into these darkened craters to perhaps melt the ice itself and then extract it and process it. But we're going to have to get down there and figure it out. And we've got numbers of robotic spacecraft that will do some surveying. But I think, you know, until people are there and in the area, that's when we're going to find either wonderful news or, hey, this is a little harder than we thought.
Now, also, radiation is a problem, given the fact that we spend almost all our time on the Earth shielded from the solar flares and cosmic rays from outer space. So some people think that a quick and dirty way to get around that is to use lava tubes. Lava tubes that already exist on the moon, left over from when the moon was first created out of volcanoes. And that could be a quick and dirty way to create the first moon base. Anyway, let's take another short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of the book, Moon Rush, The New Space Race, with Leonard David. And again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station, and the website, and the city you're calling from. And maybe you can get on 100 radio stations on the Internet, which carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. We have about 4 million fans on Facebook. So give us a call. And once again, our special guest today is Leonard David. 50 years he's been covering the space program for places like NASA, space.com, National Geographic. And the book, the new book is called Moon Rush, the New Space Race. Well, we were talking about some of the dangers of being on the moon, like radiation. Some people think that lava tubes may give us a quick and dirty way to create a moon base. Well, what are your thoughts? Living on the moon, isn't it rather dangerous and harsh? You cannot live off the land like the pioneers did centuries ago. There are no rabbits and deers to kill with bows and arrows. There's nothing on the moon of commercial value, at least in the short term. So what are your thoughts about living on the moon?
Well, I think these underground lava tubes may be future habitats for a small settlement. That's feasible. In fact, Red Whitaker at Carnegie Mellon is working with NASA on a new kind of rover that would actually gauge, you know, how deep those cavern entrances are. So we're getting there where we might be able to use lava tubes. On the other hand, you could, I've seen European space agencies, researchers are coming up with 3D printing of the lunar topside and using that as construction material and even some radiation shielding. So again, until we get down and dirty on the surface and get beyond the Apollo, plant the flag, salute, and get out of there, we're going to have to learn a lot more about how to survive on the moon. And I think it's there to do. Every place on Earth, we've got people tromping around, whether it's in the desert or the polar regions or up on top of mountains, at very extreme environments, so and undersea. So I think we'll find our way and have firm footing on the moon at some point.
And also, there was a split among the astronauts who first went to the moon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. One of these astronauts wanted to simply bypass the moon and go on to Mars. We've been to the moon. Let's go to Mars and not even think about the moon. The other group says, no. We have to, like, you know, earn our spurs. We have to first go back to the moon and use the moon as a launch pad to go to Mars. So what are your thoughts? Should we simply bypass the moon and go to Mars? I think Elon Musk leans in that direction. Or should we really settle down and create a moon base, live on the moon, get experience, and then a lunar orbiter from which we can build a rocket ship to take us to Mars? What are your thoughts?
I'm of the mindset about the moon is there. It's in front of us. We got it. We've already had 12 people successfully reconnoiter the moon in their little areas that they landed in. So I believe the moon is the destination first, that we have to get our chops up. This is going to give us new technologies, new ways to live and thrive on the moon, and I think they will all be applicable to future Mars settlement. So now, for me, it's the moon first. Let's get back, get our space legs on the moon, learn as we go, and also fail as we go, because I don't think every piece of hardware we get to the moon will always operate the way we think it does in labs down here. So I think it's a precursor for adventure beyond the moon, and let's get back and get our space legs under us.
And also, what about the Chinese effort? The Chinese are very methodical. They've been following step by step, patiently following what Russia and the United States did 50 years ago. And as they go to send robotic rovers to the moon, the next step would be to send astronauts, Chinese astronauts, to put their flag on the moon. So what do you thought about competition now for the space race to the moon?
Well, that's why I wrote the book. We were seeing a Sputnik effect here with China, very much like back in October of 57. They're making strong headway, and this last return sample mission was unbelievable. They did everything Apollo did robotically, bringing back samples. The step by step, you're right, methodical. And we're going to see China launch the first component of its space station this year, and it's going to be 11 flights that follow, or 10 or 11, to assemble their own space station in Earth orbit. So there's a plan there, and I think that's a diplomatic wake-up call for America to make sure we keep our oar in the water.
And beyond that, Mars. You've written a book, Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. So long-term, do you really think that, well, we have Elon Musk talking about a million settlers on Mars. Do you think that's a reasonable scenario that, of course, not in the next decade, but in the coming decades, Mars could be a target for settlers up to a million? What are your thoughts?
I won't probably be around, but I'm all for it. I think it's a opportunity by the private sector to show what it can do. And Elon is a big dreamer, a big schemer. He's got money to put the bill on his views. So, and I think people are ready to go if he's ready to go.
Okay, well, great. Once again, our special guest has been Leonard David. The book is called Moon Rush, The New Space Race. Thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
And once again, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic and ask a question, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. And bingo, maybe you can have your thoughts heard nationwide and on the Internet. So once again, give us a call and go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and find out what all the excitement is about on Science Fantastic.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.